We've been in an amazing series that Pastor Jason has titled Spiritual Disciplines. And I've listened to, but I was here for one, but I also listened to the other message. And in my opinion, the two messages that have been preached in the beginning of this year are the most powerful messages to start your year on. They're an incredible resource for us as a church. And really, I don't think I've ever heard such quite amazing messages to start a year with. Firstly, there was forming strong habits for a year of exponential growth. And then there was developing strong spiritual disciplines. But then Pastor Jason followed them up with a document called Reflect, Reset, and Arise. Now, this is a powerful tool for you and me. So if you haven't done this and had a look at it, check it out. Have a listen to the two messages because they're still online. It's not too late. You can start 2025 in December if you like, but I would suggest do it. It's fantastic. And you know, the message that I'm preaching today, God spoke to me about that out of doing this Reflect, Reset and Arise. Notice how I'm very old school. We printed it and I filled it out with a pen. Nice. Remember them? Vaguely. All right, here we go. Well, I've just pulled the first page of my message out of my notes, so we'll all be good. Yeah, so I'd encourage you, let's get into that because that's an amazing thing. You ready to pray? Okay. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning that you desire to speak into our hearts. That the truth of your word would be revealed to us today. You would challenge us and you would change us. You would cause our minds to be renewed according to your plan and your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, no matter where on earth you live, what nationality or culture, Christians all fight the same battle. The battle for our lives, our Christian lives, and I'm a testimony of this, is often won and lost in the thoughts of our minds. You may have heard of Francis Frangipane, who's a very well-known author, a fantastic Christian author. And in his book, The Three Battlegrounds, he started with this comment. You will remember that the location where Jesus was crucified was called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. If we are to be effective Christians, the first place or the first field of conflict where we must learn warfare is the battleground of the mind, the place of the skull. For the territory of the uncrucified thought life is a beachhead of satanic assault in our lives. We must be crucified in the place of the skull. We must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Yeah. What do you think about? What occupies your thoughts? What are the meditations of your mind? When your mind is just rolling, you know that, you know, when you're not focused on anything particular, but your mind's just running, what's going on there? What occupies our thought time? Maybe your thoughts of who you are, or your thoughts of your calling in God, or your thoughts of God's grace towards you. How about your thoughts towards others And those thoughts, I know I have them, that just seem to pop into your mind and shock you. Where did that come from? Like jiu-jitsu lesson. Your daily meditations and your daydreams, what's happening there? What's in your thoughts? I believe that your Christian life is won on that battleground. Ephesians 4, 21 to 24 says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." See, the word tells us that we need to be renewed in our mind. So, what's happening in our thought life? The amazing thing about our thoughts is that I know what my thoughts are, but you have no idea what my thought life looks like. God knows, and I know, but you have no idea what I think, and I have no idea what you think. I have a fair idea what my wife thinks. Most of the time. Yeah! Snap! But what you allow yourself to think is vitally important, because it's uncontained by those around you. It's uncontrolled by the constraints of Christian living and culture. It's unconstrained by any other force but you and the Holy Spirit. So what you allow yourself to think is vitally important. So I thought it was a pretty good idea for, God showed me this very clearly, but I felt that it was right, first off, to preach into 2025. Get your thoughts in line and your year will be in line. Okay? Because Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So you are becoming a product of your thought life, because your thoughts have creative power. See, when God created mankind, it started with a thought. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So God in his triune nature was thinking with himself about creating man in his image. So he thought, and then he declared, and he created. And even in Psalm 139, you know, David says, "You saw me before I had substance." So before David was actually created, God had already thought about him. And consider this, God created you because he'd already thought about you. He wanted you. He liked you. So he thought, I'll create a you, because he'd already thought about you. So God imagined, designed you, and saw and thought about you. It says that, so if we're created in his image, then the creative power of imagination and thought is in our DNA. That follows, doesn't it? So we can create out of what we think. Now, hear me. The word imagination isn't a dirty word for Christians. It's not some New Age thing that is inherently demonic. No, the imagination was given by God for us to think and to dream and to see and to envision and to create. So let's redeem our imaginations back. Our imagination has a purpose. And we can create and release. So we are creating who we are becoming by what we allow ourselves to think. Is that okay? Positive, negative, good, bad. Whatever we're allowing ourselves to think. So we have this incredible capacity to shift the trajectory of our lives by changing what we think. You know, David got this. He got a lot of stuff. I'm always amazed at what he understood. And in Psalm 19:14, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart," or my thoughts, the things that I meditate on in my heart, "be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." But we are in a battle for our thought life. There's lots of other things and entities that want to manage and control your thought life. See, the devil wants our thought life because then he can steer our lives. Negative spiritual forces want your thought life because they can move and direct you in the direction they want you to go, which can render you useless for the kingdom of heaven. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God through pulling down to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. Because every thought creates in us. You know, I often consider, why would I need to bring every thought captive? Because Romans 8, 6 to 7 says this. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know, as a young man, or a young Christian, should I say, I battled my mind for many years. So this is really a great testimony for me, because for years I battled the thoughts of my mind. And it doesn't matter that my thoughts of my mind that I battled were sexual thoughts, but it could have been anger. It could have been jealousy. It could have been pride. It could have been any lust for money. It could have been greed. It could have been anything. But I'm here to declare that my battles was thoughts in my mind. Romans 8 says, continuing on, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be." So if you just live out of your carnal mind, you will live at enmity towards God. You will live unable to please God because of living out of your carnal mind. See, I was doing that, and I felt a distance because my mind didn't just line up with what the Word of God said. My thoughts didn't line up with what God's intention for my life were. And God never intended me to live in that place. But fortunately, that's talking about our carnal mind, our uncrucified thought life, where anything goes. But through the power of Jesus living in us, and his purpose is to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So bottom line, bit of revision, our natural thoughts will keep us confined to the thinking of this world. We're having our mind renewed is God's purpose for his people. And this is a constant. You know, I did this little thing, reset and arise. And the second question said, what were your top three achievements or wins this past year? And the first one I thought of that came to mind was more controlled thought life. Now, I've been on that path for 37 years, but I'm still developing my thought life, because this is a constant in God. You don't reach a destination. You just continue on in God, having your thoughts renewed, having your mind renewed, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind." So God has a restoration and a desire and a plan for the restoration of all of our minds. There's not one person in this room today that God doesn't want to renew your mind as an ongoing process. So, but it's not only important to live in a controlled mind, it's a command. Have a listen to this. When Jesus was asked what is the greatest command, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So what goes on in your mind is of great importance to God. And he commands us in that great commandment to love him with everything that's in your mind. Okay? When I realized that there was a lot of stuff in my mind that wasn't about loving God. In fact, there was a lot of stuff in my mind that was contrary to loving God and God's will. So, how do we love the Lord with our mind? You know, it's a good question. Allow him to transform it. Make a decision that you're going to allow God to change the thoughts of your mind. It's a good place to start. And decide to take thoughts captive. That is hard. And I've been working on this for years. But I can say this works. I had a thought the other day that popped into my mind, the day before yesterday, that popped into my mind that was of my old thinking. And I was just able to go, bang, whack, you're gone. Didn't even consider it. Didn't even look at it. Didn't even contemplate it. It was just gone. I had to take it captive first, though. We need to examine what you allow in your thought life. Because like I said, sometimes you'll amaze yourself and shock yourself, as I do, at really what can be in your thought life. Take it captive and reject it. Also, David saying, "Examine me, O Lord," in Psalm 26:2. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Woo! I don't know whether I would pray that prayer. Prove me, try my mind and my heart. Where do thoughts come from? You know, thoughts come from lots of different angles, but thoughts can come from the Spirit of God. And In Matthew 16, 17, it says that Jesus, answering Peter when he had the revelation of who Jesus are, he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood, this has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So the thought that Peter had that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, didn't come out of his carnal mind. It came out of a thought that God released into his mind. Now, thoughts can also come from our own hearts, from our own thinking, from our carnal mind. It says in Matthew 15, 19, "For out of the heart," or the mind, "proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies," and I'll include to that list, "vain imaginations," whether it be angerful thoughts, prideful thoughts, whatever is in your heart will be released, and your thoughts will almost cycle through those things that are in your heart. And thirdly, thoughts can come from the demonic realm that lives around us. And if you've ever done much deliverance ministry, you see this so plainly, where demonic spirits will speak directly into the thoughts or the intentions of people's hearts. You know, it says in John 13:2, this is talking about Judas, "And the supper being ended, the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So the thought had already come, it had already been planted, the thought had already been considered, and it had gone to his heart. So Judas's sinful act started as a thought that was received into his heart. You see, be aware of this. Temptation isn't sin. And say it again. Temptation isn't sin. How do I know that? Because Jesus was tempted. It says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So the temptation is not the sin. So temptations come as thoughts. So that means that Jesus would have had lustful thoughts, angry thoughts, and dishonest thoughts, because he was tested in all points but without sin. So Jesus knew what it was to be tempted, but he has shown us the way to overcome such thoughts. In Matthew 4, 2-4, there's the story of Jesus, and he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights with only liquids. And it says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry." You can imagine, after 40 days of not eating, he was hungry. "Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Well, now, can you imagine? Jesus is a man and God. Now, he's probably thinking, I could do better than that. I could command these stones to become bread, and then I could put lots of garlic butter on them, and I could warm it, and it all soak in. It would be absolutely fantastic. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." Catch that. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So he didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to argue with the devil. He didn't fight a thought with a thought. I made that mistake for years, fighting thoughts with thoughts. He fought it with the word. Battling thoughts with thoughts isn't the answer. So he went straight to the source of truth, being God's word. See, the word is the key, and it's vitally important that we're in the word every day, that it's getting into us. Now, you know, it needs to be our spiritual discipline. If we're talking about spiritual disciplines this morning, the word has to be high, high, high on those that priority. Because how can you respond in the word if it's not in you? Now, I understand that some of you don't read or don't like to read. That's okay. It doesn't matter. These days, just listen to the word while you're driving along. Or get the word into you somehow. But the word is vitally important. Otherwise, there's no basis to either accept or reject those thoughts. The word needs to be the basis of truth where you go, I'll accept that or I'll reject that. Even when temptation comes, I'll accept that or I'll reject that. And the word needs to be that foundation. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Listen to this. And is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So if you need to discern and understand what thoughts you need to take captive or release, or when you need to take captive all of your thoughts, but you need to release and reject, then you need the word to be able to make that evaluation. See, the word will expose deceptive thoughts in your mind because you'll have something to evaluate it against. And if you don't have the word in that position in your life, then where do you find your truth? What is true? You make it up as you go along. Then your mind just becomes this picture screen of random stuff that is totally uncontrolled. So if you're aware of particular thoughts that you want to challenge in your own life and deal with in your own life, it doesn't matter what it is, find scriptures to counter those thoughts. I found deliverance that way. Find scriptures that counter those thoughts so that when those thoughts come, you just go bang, counter it with scripture. You know, Pastor David Storer, who some of you may know or have heard of, he's an incredible pastor in Western Australia, very wise. Now, a lot of people don't know, he wrote a book. And the book that he wrote is called Meditations on Mysteries. And I tell you, this is probably my favourite book that has ever been written. It is amazing. He's an amazing man. Oh, apart from the Bible, of course. Was written, but yeah, I'm not going to go there. So in this book on Meditations on Mysteries, he makes this statement. Our thoughts remain powerless until we reach out and grasp them. Remember, temptation is not sin. So our thoughts are powerless until we reach out and grasp them. We grasp them by moving from observing the thought to actually entering into the thought. When we enter into the thought, it has as much the same effect on us as when we are totally immersed in a dream or an imagination. So that was really helpful for me because I realized that I could observe, remember that word, I could observe my thoughts almost like a third person. I could stand back and I could evaluate my thoughts as they came through. And I could reject them or I could accept them. And anything that you accept will become part of you. It'll enter your heart. But if you reject it, it's just gone. It's just gone. Learn that process. And, you know, how many times you've been driving down the road and some crazy person has cut in on you without indicating, then turn left and you spend the next 5 minutes in this imaginary place of what you're going to say to them or do to them when you catch up with them. You know what I'm talking about? It's almost like you lose track of where you are and the anger is just burning inside you and you make it and your brain is just creating these ego stories of what you're going to do when you get. You need to control that. It never happened. Come on. You're a brave man. I love it. You know, we can just get lost in the thoughts of our mind and in vain imaginings. I used to live in vain imaginings. You can spend your whole life just being just lost from your real world. In fact, I knew a person before I was a Christian who didn't have a life because they spent all their life in the imaginings of their head. Their life was useless, basically, because they spent all their time imagining what it could be like. Totally lost. Okay. So if you can observe your thoughts, that's where you can take them captive before they enter your heart. So if you've got a thought, you can go, now what am I going to do with that thought? And let's take some practice, I must say. You know, 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, what gird up the loins of your mind means, I had to Google this to find out. It means prepare and strengthen your mind for what's about to come. Okay? It's like do exercises in your mind so that you're able to withstand the enemy when he comes against you. Just remember this. Now, this is helpful. I'm going to finish very, very soon. You are not your thoughts, okay? Now, this released me from a whole lot of burden that I carried unnecessary. You are not your thoughts. And the risk is that you think that because I think this, that's what I am. And that's error. Because thoughts can come from all over the place. And negative spiritual forces that surround you. See, I used to have problems with lust, and I considered that I was an awful, lustful person. But the only difference was I didn't observe and take captive the thoughts and reject them. There was actually nothing wrong with me. I just didn't know how to captivate my thoughts. You know, Paul writes about the same struggle, and I might cut this a little short. Romans 23 says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Okay, he's talking about his thoughts. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So the battle was taking place in his mind. Two things. You can take your thoughts captive or they'll take you captive. You know, I've often met Christians who have lost their zeal, their passion, their purpose, and all it is they're trapped in incorrect thinking. They haven't captivated their thoughts and decided, no, I'm not going to accept that. You know what happened this morning? I'd done the message yesterday, and I was praying and working through it this morning, and I had this thought come, and this thought said, that's no good. That's really bad, actually. You can't preach that. And then I started thinking, yeah, maybe I'm too old for this. And then I started thinking, this is true. This happened this morning. Maybe I should give up preaching. And I took those thoughts captive and I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because you will have those things. It's ongoing. You just need to know how to deal with them. So what's going to win in the battle for your thoughts? You know, I thought this morning, as I was praying this morning, that there's at least one person here that every time they think of a particular situation, waves of grief just overflow them. You just need to reject those thoughts. I've also thought that there's people here this morning that almost get paralyzed by anger. You just need to let those thoughts go. You just need to captivate those thoughts and say, I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. Sexual thoughts, they will lead you to inappropriate actions. You need to captivate those thoughts and let them go. So why don't we just pray and ask the Holy Spirit that he would help us. If the band could come and join me. See, the upside is this, is that when our thoughts and God thoughts line up, life works. And we enter this supernatural partnership, and we start to understand his purpose and his will for us and how he can work through us to reach others. We just need to get our thoughts tracking in the same direction as God's thoughts. And I tell you, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Because it will change who you are, and it will change what God can do through you. When the spirit and the mind are working in partnership, there will be peace.